Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take up composting with Jill Van Rossum, who's a natural resources educator for the University of Wisconsin Cooperative Extension. Been a guest with us before. He serves as a statewide compost specialist. He provides technical assistance to those of us who want to transform waste materials into a valuable soil amendment. And I'd love to hear about your experiences with composting. Have you done it? What are your questions about it? Join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And Joe Van Rossum, welcome back.
Glad to be here, Larry. Always happy to come back in and talk about compost.
Oh, yeah. You know, somebody said, well, what is compost? And I said, well, it could be a lot of things. But for you, in your mind, what is compost?
Well, composting is a way where we can take leaves, grass clippings, and food scraps from our kitchen. We place them into a backyard composting bin, mix them together in the right amounts, and bacteria and other organisms transform our waste materials into a valuable soil amendment that we can put on our gardens, spread on our lawn, and it makes for healthy soil, which leads to healthier plants.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the benefits, obviously, healthy soil.
Yeah, the compost feeds the organisms that live in our soil. And those organisms help make nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus available for plants to use and grow.
And getting started, I was thinking about, you know, we have some in the Madison, as an example, there are compost bins that you can purchase and get started. I know other communities have the same kind of set up, but you don't really need that, do you?
No, you don't need a bin. You can start with just a compost heap or a compost pile that has no structure around it. You want to make it about 1 cubic yard in size. Okay. About that size, you get enough mass that the compost pile is going to heat up, and you're going to make compost more quickly.
Yeah, okay. And is there, I mean, do we put it in the corner of the yard, or where does it go?
You know, your compost bin or pile can go just about anywhere in your yard. I usually say put it in a spot that you're going to use it. If you're going to use the finished compost in your garden, maybe you want to put it in the corner of your garden. If you're going to be composting your kitchen scraps, make sure it's in a convenient spot so you can easily add compost or your food scraps throughout the course of the year, so you don't have to dig too big of a trench through the snow in order to get to the compost pile in the winter.
You know, that is an issue, isn't it? I mean, if you've got, well, here's me. Last night, I was invited next door for dinner. So I was asked, what can I bring? And they said, well, bring a fruit salad. So here I had the leftovers of a pineapple. Mm-hmm. I had an apple core, a couple of those. I had a banana peel. I had some other things too. So pretty soon I have, a muskmelon rind. Well, I'm looking at all this. That's a lot of material.
Yeah, surprisingly, about 30 to 40% of the food that we buy in the grocery store ends up being waste. Yeah. We don't actually consume it. So that not only creates a waste issue, but it also points out that we're wasting a lot of resources growing food that we don't eat.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got some questions already. Nobody online yet, on phone yet, but you can join in with your own questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear your questions about composting or your experiences, too. If you've got some things to share, please join in. And email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Those are the places to go. Nick in Milwaukee emailed and wondered if you can compost oranges. And I imagine he's talking about orange peels. Is that something you can compost?
Yeah, certainly. Any peel from a fruit or a vegetable or any core from a fruit can go into your compost pile. The citrus tends to have some oil that's a little acidic, and it just takes a little bit longer for that that orange to decompose in the compost pile.
Okay. And here's Robert and Carolyn mentioned on Facebook that they've been having problems aerating the middle of their bin as it fills up. And do you have tips on that?
You know, one of the simplest things you can do to get air moving into your compost pile is to make sure you have a mix of ingredients that you're adding to it. So you want things that have big pieces, like, say, wood chips, and you have things that are smaller pieces, like maybe the food scraps or the grass clippings. And having a mix of different size materials creates pore space or openings between the materials, and those pore spaces is what allows air to move into and out of your compost pile, because those organisms need oxygen in order to live. So they're breathing just like you and I. So we have to provide an opportunity using pore space to get air into it. The other thing they can do, some people will use a pipe, a plastic pipe with holes drilled into it, and they'll stick that into the center of their pile, and it sort of acts like a chimney. So the air moves in at the bottom. It heats up in the compost pile, and that hot air rises out of the pile, and cool air with oxygen moves back in.
That's not a bad idea. I've seen situations or setups, too, where you can have a barrel that's sort of on a lever-type situation where you can actually kind of crank it, get it to turn upside down and so forth, and open things up that way.
Yeah, the drum-type composters.
Yeah, that's what I was.
They make it really easy to turn your compost. They usually have some sort of a handle that you turn, or some of them you just rotate the entire barrel. And that makes it easier for people who may not be as enthusiastic about picking up a shovel or a fork to actually physically turn the materials in the compost
pile. Yeah, that was a pretty cool idea, actually. Kim in Madison has something for us. Hi, Kim. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I just wanted to let you guys know that I belong to a wonderful service called Earth Stew Compost, and they supply the bucket and come and pick up the compost material for a very minimal monthly fee, and then during the summer she gives us some composted material that we can place in our garden.
Oh, what a nice idea. It's called Earth Stew?
Earth Stew Compost. Yeah, and it's worked really well for me because I have animals and I don't have a space to put compost in the yard. And this way I'm composting all my organic material, and she comes and picks it up, and I write her a small check, and it's just a fabulous service.
I love that idea.
And we're seeing more of those entrepreneurs popping up around the state. It extends beyond what's happening in the Madison area. There's a new company in the Eau Claire area that's providing home pickup for compostable materials. There's one or two businesses in the Milwaukee area that are providing that home service or service to businesses who want to start composting their food waste rather than just sending it to the landfill.
I did not know. Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate that call. Earth Stew Compost, and then there's some, and that's in Madison area, and then there's others, as you say, around the state.
That's correct.
John in Green Bay up next. Hi, John.
Hi there. In our household, we agree not to put meat scraps in our compost bin. We've heard that that's a bad idea, but we have differences of opinion about whether a bread should or should not be put in a compost bin.
So can you put bread? What would be the reason not to?
What we found with bread, it certainly will decompose in a compost pile, but it seems to attract rodents. So mice and other similar creatures tend to be attracted to grains. And it may have a tendency to attract those furry four-legged creatures. You know, some people don't necessarily mind seeing a mouse or two around the yard, but certainly other people are not as enthusiastic about seeing a mouse pop out of their compost pile.
So it can compost, but you might find a mouse.
Yes. And one of the things you can do to discourage the mice is to make sure you keep your compost pile damp. So adding moisture so it feels as damp wrung-out sponge is going to discourage mice from thinking your compost pile is a warm, dry place to take up a home.
Gotcha. Joe Van Rossum, our guest today. He is a natural resources educator for UW Cooperative Extension. Always great to talk with him. He visited with him about water quality in the past, but often about composting, and that's That's what's on our minds today. And when I think composting here at Wisconsin Public Radio, I think of the queen of compost here at Wisconsin Public Radio, Jennifer Dargan, who's joining us today and helping me in our winter membership drive. Your support is the foundation of our budget. It makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. And we'll be back with Joe in just a minute or two. But first, Jennifer is here to help me encourage you to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Right now, make your gift of support to the programs you count on. And thanks for joining us, Jennifer.
Thank you, Larry. And I wanted to give you an update on last hour during On Point. We heard at the end of the hour a total of 11 new and returning members. So I wanted to say thank you for those pledges. But right now, some very exciting news. We have a dollar-for-dollar match. Yay!
Excellent.
Up to $4,000.
Whoa!
And this generous match is a gift made in memory of Loretta and Blaine Manor from Eau Claire. And it means that every dollar that you give is going to be matched.
It's a way of encouraging you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You can double your support for the programs you love. Give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Right, do it right now. You don't want to miss out on this match, because on this program we cover all sorts of topics, from environment, consumer issues, gardening, how-to topics. We have on Wisconsin authors, Wisconsin food. You really get a lot of information from this program, and it's possible because of your financial support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So please support this program and all the other programs that you enjoy on WPR with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs you care about and love, and as an added incentive, we have something special during this winter membership drive. It's the latest WPR t-shirt.
It's really soft, and it's a cool design. It's a great t-shirt made in the USA, printed right here in Wisconsin, and it's yours when you give $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. So ask for your t-shirt now and show your support of WPR when you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you're walking around Wisconsin, you can show your support of Wisconsin Public Radio when you're wearing this t-shirt, too.
I think it's a great business model in that it operates using donations from people and donations from corporations. It works. I'm happy to donate because I think it's so important. And I'm happy to donate more because I know there's some people out there that can't. It's just great company in the house. I'm Mary from Menominee, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for everyday listening.
Mary, thank you so much, and thank you if you've already contributed, but if you haven't, go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this winter membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. We're asking for your support of WPR. Your gift, I don't know, maybe it's $10 or $15 or maybe $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Mm-hmm. And Larry, you mentioned a monthly gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe you've heard about the Sustainer program at Wisconsin Public Radio. When you become a Sustainer, you choose a monthly gift amount, set it up to come out of your bank account or your credit card, and it'll continue for as long as you like.
You know, the really cool thing about that, I was at a friend's, neighbor's house yesterday, and she said, "Oh, I got something in the mail from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm getting a free t-shirt." And I said, "Oh, you are?" And she said, "I'm a contributing or a sustaining member."
Right.
And it just automatically, she gets something in the mail. So that was pretty cool. She was excited. And you should be excited, too. I think one of the things you can't live without, I bet, is WPR. You might as well support us with a convenient, flexible, sustaining membership.
Right.
And then you'll get something in the mail when these kinds of things happen.
We don't forget about our sustaining members when it's time to think about thank you gifts.
No, for sure. So get started now. Gift of $5 or $10 a month. at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
You know, at a time when the world is changing at such a fast pace, keeping up is really harder than ever. And so no matter what is going on in your life or in the news, WPR and the Larry Mueller Show is always here for you. You can really count on us for programs that are entertaining and enlightening.
It's a two-way relationship. We're here when you need us, and you step up with the support that makes it all possible. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And now is the best time to make that call or go online because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect. It's a gift made in memory of Loretta and Blaine Manor from Eau Claire. And your gift of $50 is going to turn into $100. $75 is going to turn into $150. On and on. You get the idea. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your radio station. It's the one that wakes you up in the morning, maybe. It rides with you on your commute and keeps you company during the day.
Right. And the beauty of that all is you get to decide how much to pay for those programs that you enjoy. A lot of first-time donors think about a $5 a month gift.
Your gift, combined with donations from other listeners, add up to WPR's single largest funding source. Become our next new member right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Wouldn't it be cool? So you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before, and you're going to become a new member right now, right? You're walking to the phone. Your pledge is going to get doubled. So many ways to say make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. After you've pledged, you're going to say, I stood up and I was counted. I made my voice heard.
Yay!
I supported what I loved. So do all those things by going to WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Talking composting today with our guest Joe Van Rossum from the University of Wisconsin Cooperative Extension, natural resources educator for the UW Extension. Great to have him with us. Thank you for joining in. Call in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Give a call. And oh, we lost a caller who had a pine snake in there. Compost bin. I hope that person calls back. I want to hear that story. We got a little note on that. But here's Kathy in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I have two quick composting questions, if that's all right.
Sure.
I have been composting for a while. I've got a big double bin right on kind of a frame that you crank around. And it's really handy, by the way, because you can put all your scraps and things on the left side while the right side is breaking down and then switch it. But I'm never quite sure when the side that's composting away, can I tell when it's done? It always seems kind of heavy and gloppy to me. So at what stage do I know it's done? And then the second part is, I live in a rather heavily wooded area, so there's not enough sunlight to have any kind of a garden. It's very heavy clay soil, and I do a lot of shrub and tree planting, but I'm not sure if I can just kind of spread around that compost on the ground or if there's something better I should be doing with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kathleen, why don't we tackle the first question. When can you tell when your compost is ready to use? The first thing you can do is look at it visually. It's going to be dark brown, it's going to be crumbly, and you're not going to be able to recognize any of the ingredients that you use to make the compost. So if you're adding in broccoli stalks and leaves, you shouldn't be able to really recognize any more of the leaf matter or the broccoli stalks. The other thing you can do is you can put a few handfuls into a zip-top bag and close that bag up for 5 or 7 days, and then open the bag back up. If you get a smell of ammonia or rotten egg smell, your compost isn't quite ready to use. Let it sit for a little while longer and cure and to mature. And then once it no longer has that odor to it, it's ready to use in your yard or in your garden. And really, when you use it in your yard or garden, it doesn't necessarily matter if it's a sunny spot or a shady spot. We can mix the compost directly into the soil if it's a garden bed. So add 2 inches and mix it into the top 6 to 8 inches. or we can just use it as a mulch. So for spreading it around a bush or a tree, you can spread up to a 3-inch layer of that compost around that tree or bush, and slowly that material is going to make its way back down into the soil and provide benefits for those plants.
Yeah, but it's some good fertilizer, isn't it?
Yeah, if we were to put a fertilizer label on compost, it's usually 1% nitrogen, 1% phosphorus, and 1% potassium.
There we go.
But really, compost is so much more than just a fertilizer, yeah, because it brings so much else along with it. Kathleen mentioned she has clay soil. There's lots of clay soils in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And the one thing that it does, it allows compost soil or clay soils to be more workable. It loosens that soil up. It allows moisture to penetrate and move through it much more easily than if you hadn't added the compost to it.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen, thanks so much.
Thank you. Those are terrific tips.
All right. Appreciate the call. Diane in New Berlin, it's your turn. Hi, Diane.
Hello, how are you?
Great, appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
All right, been composting for many, many years, but I just recently started raising backyard chickens. And last year, I took all the bedding, and I have several compost piles going simultaneously to kind of rotate through, always keeping the oldest ones to throw in the garden. And so last year, got a good, nice, hot compost pile going. Initially, I went out to turn it once, and it cooled off immediately. It did not regain its heat. Now, how long does that have to sit without the heat for it to have killed all the bacteria that would be dangerous to put on a vegetable garden?
Well, that's a good question, Diane. And usually, if we were to look at the temperatures we really want to get to make sure that we're killing the harmful bacteria such as E. coli or Salmonella. Sure. We want those organisms exposed to about 131 degrees for if it's the center of the pile, you know, in as little as 3 to 5 days, those bacteria numbers are going to be significantly reduced. If you're in a larger pile setting, you want it about 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
If you maintain those temperatures for 15 days and you turn that pile 3 or 4 times during that time period, you're going to be pretty safe to say that that compost is going to be safe to put on your vegetable garden.
Okay, so it didn't, let's say what happened last year was it was got good and hot. I let it sit for about a week, and it was a good-sized pile. I'm going to say at least a cubic yard. And but I turned it once, putting the hottest stuff on the outside and the cool stuff on the inside, and it did not reheat. So should I have to reheat that somehow by adding some other component, or can I just let it sit and then will it naturally break down just, you know, without the heating?
It will have broken down without that higher heating taking place. And if we don't get the higher temperatures, that just means we have to take a longer amount of time to let it sit. So, you know, if it's been there over winter, I would say you'd have a relatively small chance of having any harmful organisms in there.
Yeah, it will have sat. Yeah, I set it up in September, and I won't spread it around until the spring. The other thing is, because my bedding has a lot of pine shavings in it, the pine shavings just take forever to break down. It seems like everything else breaks down really well, but pine shavings are very well, which makes them really good bedding. Do I need to wait until those are completely broken down too before I spread it, or is it okay for me to spread a few of the chunks of pine shavings?
If they've gone through the composting process, you should be safe to spread them in your garden. The other thing you could do is you could build yourself a small screen that maybe has a 1/2-inch or 1/4-inch holes, and then pass the compost over that screen. The materials that fall through the screen add to your garden. The wood chips that stay on the screen, you can add them back to your compost pile.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like a lot of work, but
yeah.
Well, that's the fun thing about composting. You can be a lazy composter and just kind of take it cool and easy, or if you're really enthusiastic about composting, you can have multiple piles going, taking materials from your neighbors, and making all sorts of compost for your garden.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay, well, thank you very much for the program.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I'm one of the lazy guys. You know, when it comes to composting, I'm on the lazy side.
And that's okay. You know, you let the pile tell you when you need to turn it. You get maybe a little whiff of ammonia or rotten egg smell, and that's time to give that pile a turn, open that pore space up, and get some air moving through it again.
Sarah in Cross Plains, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello. I have one of those cylindrical composters that you just roll to mix. And in the bottom of it, it has a liquid that is the brochure called compost tea. And I've been just emptying it and putting it into gallon milk jugs because I don't know what to do with it. But I'm assuming that it's full of nutrients. And I'm wondering if in fact it is. And if so, how do I use it on my garden? And also, can it be used as a fertilizer on houseplants?
Well, Sarah, that's a pretty common occurrence. You know, if we have excess moisture in our compost pile or in our bin, it's going to come out. And that compost tea, you can dilute maybe with 10 parts water to one part compost tea, and then you can just water any plant along with that. So okay. It should be fine whether you water your plants in your garden or you bring some of it inside for your house plants. It's going to bring some nutrients, and it's perhaps even going to bring some microorganisms that are going to be helpful for the soil there as well.
Okay.
There you go.
And I had one other question.
Sure.
I forgot to mention at the beginning. You know the core doormats? C-O-I-R. I'm never quite sure how to pronounce that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I've seen in catalogs where they advertise that material to put into compost bins. And I'm wondering if you can take a doormat, and of course the doormat has a picture painted on it, after it's worn out and you don't want to use it as a doormat anymore, can it be cut up and put in compost? Or would the paint on the picture, or do they treat it in some way that wouldn't be good?
You know, that's a new question for me, Sarah. I don't know that I'd have an answer for that. Certainly the portions of the mat, the core, which comes from coconuts, it's going to decompose. It's probably going to take a while to break down your compost pile. So maybe for starters, you know, just cut away the portions that don't have any printing on it and compost that portion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Sarah. Appreciate your call. And, oh, here's Jill and Rhinelander back. Jill, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I have a big compost pile. We're out in the country, so we had pine snakes move in. We have the cylindrical tubes down it to help it decompose.
Yeah.
And the last two summers, we've had big pine snakes. I don't have any problem with the 13-line ground squirrels or chipmunks eating my cucumbers anymore.
And so they live right in your, they spend a lot of time in your compost.
They sunbathe on the top of it and they rub their skins off. We've got quite a few shed skins, some of them over 6 feet long.
Oh, wonderful.
But they're keeping down the rodent population in the summertime, which is good.
Oh, I'm glad you called back.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I don't have a problem with snakes. You know, I'm not scared of them or anything, but it's kind of neat to go out there and see those big honkers laying on top of the...
And they take care of the other little rodents that ordinarily would be a problem. So wonderful.
Yeah, because I have a problem with the cucumbers. They take a bite and go to the next one, take another bite.
Yeah.
But haven't had that now the last couple of years. So.
Thanks, Jill.
Sure.
Appreciate that call. And you can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions and comments as we talk composting with Joe Van Rossum. And there's another number I want you to think about, too. We'll get to that in just a second. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan joining us again. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. You count on WPR for great discussions, and it's your gift, any amount that makes these talks possible. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we still have our dollar for dollar match, Jennifer.
Larry, that's my favorite time of the pledge drive, the dollar for dollar match time. So this one is up to $4,000. It's still in effect. And it's a great time to pledge because this is a gift made in memory of Loretta and Blaine Manor from Eau Claire. And that will double every dollar that you decide to give. And it's a way of inspiring you to support WPR right now. So double the impact of your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Been having a lot of fun talking with Joe Van Rossum today about home composting, and I think this is a pretty good example of the information programs that we have. They're interesting, they're informative, substantial. We get into a lot of quirky areas sometimes, but we always have a lot of fun and learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. And now take a minute to make this program and so many more programs like this one possible. If you always wanted to have a role in creating radio, you can do it right now by making your donation. Just choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And giving is really easy. All we need is your name, some contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
Right. You can make a one-time gift, or better yet, you can start an automatic sustaining donation directly from your bank account. But the important thing is that you do it and that you choose how to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and certainly we do get funding from the federal government and from the state. But listener contributions make up the single largest source of our income.
Single largest source of our income here. Your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. And now that you know how important it is, make a pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
What a nice statement. Thanks so much to David, and thanks so much to you for your donation and support of the programs you count on. If you haven't donated yet, go now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe your gift is $5 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And after you donate to Wisconsin Public Radio, something kind of magical happens. After you make your pledge, you're going to feel really good every time you turn on the radio. You'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you helped make this station possible.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. Your pledge not only guarantees our future, it guarantees your future listening. So pledge now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and you're going to feel good all year long.
Mm-hmm, guaranteed. And don't forget, we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, made in memory of Loretta and Blaine Manor from Eau Claire. And your gift of $25 turns into $50. Your gift of $100 turns into $200. You get the idea. So take advantage of this match right now. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a long way to go, and we don't want to lose that any of that money. So if you haven't made your contribution, do it right now. And if you're a new member, well, I'll tell you what, new members are really important to any membership drive, certainly to this one. Every member makes a difference because listener support makes up the single biggest part of our budget. So your donation makes WPR programs possible.
Maybe you just tune in every day at 11 o'clock, or maybe you find yourself checking in throughout the day or the week. Whatever it is, you're getting value from what you hear. And if you've never given before, you could start off with a pledge of $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And guaranteed, when you do, you'll feel great.
Absolutely. A gift to WPR is a gift through Wisconsin Public Radio to the community. You enjoy this station, and so do many, many other people.
That's right. Make your pledge right now for yourself and for your community at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, that's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking composting today with Joe Van Rossum, who is a natural resources educator for UW Cooperative Extension. He's a statewide compost specialist, and it's always fun to have him come by to talk about composting. Join in with your own questions at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Julie in Stevens Point next. Julie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. It's a pleasure to speak with you this morning and your guest. My question is, how do I eliminate the stinging nettle, which wants to take over my compost pile? It's fairly large in the backyard. We put in kitchen scraps and some lawn clippings as well as fall leaves, and I'm just having a real hard time, you know, getting rid of it.
Do they grow up in the bin, or?
Yeah, it's actually on the ground. I'm one of those lazy composters, too.
Sure.
And so it's in part of our wooded backyard, and so it's coming up along the back and the edges and wanting to kind of take over the pile.
Okay.
Well, I think, Julie, one thing you can do is maybe try to condense your pile a little bit. If your pile is spreading out and being more flat than tall, you're probably not going to get as warm a temperature as you would like. And at those lower temperatures, if there's nettle seeds there, they're going to germinate because there's lots of nutrients coming from that compost. So they think that's a very happy place to start their life. So try to condense your pile into a little bit smaller area. Okay. Maybe think about a bin itself rather than just a pile, as just a way to keep things more condensed and maybe more neat and organized, if you will.
Okay.
But sure, for sure, pile it up, yeah.
Yeah.
Great, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Julie, for calling. Sharon in Berlin, thank you for calling. Hi.
I don't know who else to call, Larry, so I'm going to give this to your side of the fence.
Sure thing.
I have heard, experienced advertising, and I think the Green Bay Brown County Extension agent is in charge of this. But they've been saying because they have so much waste food, I suppose, in schools and grocery stores and restaurants, that they are starting a public compost. And the first thing they suggest you put in there is meat. And I just really was very, very surprised at that. I've been composting for a whole lot of years. I started out with the little gardening book that we used to have, and I'm still doing it. I've always heard you do not put meat scraps in your compost. Am I still correct? Or if that needs to be changed, could you contact that person and suggest that meat is not something they should put in that compost?
Well, Sharon, anything that was once living, whether it's a plant or an animal, can be composted. So theoretically, at the end of my life, I could be composted if someone chose to. However, that doesn't mean we should compost anything that was once alive in our backyards. So what we recommend for the home composter is to stick with the vegetable-based materials that you're adding to your compost pile, as well as manures from plant eaters. The challenge with composting something like meat is you really have to be paying attention to it every day. And the normal homeowner, as much as they may care about their compost pile, they may not be out there every day to make sure that it's taken care of properly and they're reaching the proper temperatures for composting.
This is not a homeowner's compost pile, sir.
That
this is a community public one, and they're asking people to bring these things to be composted.
Yes.
Composted.
Okay,
so
correct.
I just thought meat was incompatible. If
nope.
it's not, I'll close my mouth and let them go ahead and have whatever comes to eat the meat they put in their compost pile.
Yeah, I've spoken with the Brown County, I think their materials recovery department now, who's running this program, and they have systems in place to make sure that the meat that's coming in to their drop-off location is going to be composted properly and safely.
Okay, so, yeah, here we've got people that are going to be watching it every day, as opposed to me, for example, who wouldn't be paying that much attention, but maybe once a week or something.
Yes.
So there we go. So in that case, it's just fine, Sharon. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it. I want to give Amanda in Lake Geneva a chance to join in. Amanda, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
So in college we had a little bit of we had a composting program where they gave us buckets and then we would put all of our compost in there and we would take it to, like the school compost garbage bin and then they would take those to whatever they did to compost them. So I've been pretty interested in composting, but I don't know a lot about how to do it myself, so I was wondering if you could just give me some, like, really simple, I don't live out in the country where I could, like, have a big, I mean, I could have it in the little yard space that we have, but I'm also leaving to move to a different country in maybe, like, 4 or 5 months, so I don't have something that I'll be able to, like, sustain for a long time. Is there an option for me to start composting or to take it somewhere, or... yeah, if there's any suggestions that you might have.
Okay.
Well, I think the one element that maybe makes it challenging for you, Amanda, is the time element. You know, usually it's going to take 3 to 6 months for materials to be properly composted. And if you're leaving soon, starting a compost pile right now might not be, something that you would be able to reach kind of a logical conclusion. And before you leave. But maybe check out with some of your neighbors, some of your friends. Maybe they'd be willing to take your food scraps for composting.
Yeah, maybe. And and there may be a neighbor that's got one going and just add to that his or her pile.
Yeah, usually, you can walk around your neighborhood and kind of peek in the backyard, see if there's a black compost bin or pile there. And maybe you
there
can,
you go.
Make a new friend as well as sharing.
There you go.
Cool. And, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, and good luck in your travels.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. And how about Gail in Fish Creek? What's on your mind?
Well, hi. I have a question, too. What about all the flies? Because we know our neighbor has a compost, and flies are notorious. And I use a product from Spalding, the Spalding Predators. A lot of people using it, they have livestock or horses, especially. And it keeps the fly population down because these little tiny bugs will eat the larvae. And you get them delivered to you periodically through the season, and they build up, and you sprinkle them around, and they take care of the fly problem. Has anybody finding a fly problem with their compost?
I have heard of some people who are maybe turned off if they do have some flies at their compost piles. One of the things you can do is if you're adding food scraps, make sure you're covering those food scraps every time you add it with a layer of maybe 2 inches of leaves or straw. If you don't have that available, maybe keep a layer of finished compost at the top of your compost pile. If you're keeping those decomposable food wastes buried, it's less of a chance for flies to lay their eggs and hatch and create more flies, so you interrupt that reproduction cycle.
Yeah.
But the challenge is you want life in your compost pile.
Yeah.
So you're trying to create conditions that are favorable for organisms, bugs to reproduce and thrive, to transform your materials into that valuable soil amendment we call compost.
Yeah. There we go. Thank you so much, Gail, for calling. Appreciate your call. Lynn in Evansville wondered if she can use lawn clippings that contain weeds like Creeping Charlie.
You certainly can add weeds to your compost pile. You want to make sure that they haven't gone to seed. And the other thing you can do to make sure that the weeds are killed, have a hot compost pile. You know, I mentioned that 131 degrees earlier this afternoon. Important to keep those higher temperatures because that kills the seeds. It kills the weeds to make sure that they're not, you're not making one problem after you pull the problem out the following fall.
There you go. Joe Van Rossum, our guest today, natural resources educator for University of Wisconsin Cooperative Extension, talking with us about composting today on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. And Jennifer Dargan joining us again because it's our winter membership drive, and I know that you rely on WPR for informative, in-depth discussions.
Right, and in turn, we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong. So your gift right now of any amount makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,000 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because a gift made in memory of Loretta and Blaine Manor from Eau Claire will double the dollars that you do give. It's a way of inspiring you to support WPR. So I hope you'll double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Double your pledge right now because, you know, the advice that you get on this show alone, makes you a better homeowner, a better gardener, makes you healthier, happier, more well-read, in touch with Wisconsin authors. I mean, the list goes on and on. You don't get a show like this anywhere else, and this show is possible pledge by pledge only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So give now. WPR.org is a place to go online or call 888-202-2552.
And this membership drive, you can choose a WPR T-shirt as your thank you gift for your pledge of $10 a month or maybe a one-time gift of $120. Cotton, it's printed right here in Wisconsin. It's got the same design as we have on our water bottles, which is a pretty cool design. My 12-year-old loves that water bottle.
Ooh, the 12-year-old crowd.
I do not get my water bottle anymore. She gets it.
Your pledge supports the program, and you're going to love this T-shirt. It's gray. It's got the circular design on it that Larry was talking about. You can check it out online if you want to see what it looks like. I don't know if I'm doing it justice by describing it, but check it out online. Go to WPR.org, and then ask for yours when you pledge at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
And I hope you will pledge right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan, and we're asking for your support of WPR during our winter membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Right. When you listen to WPR, you can be assured that we're going to be keeping your interests at heart. And we can continue to serve you and the community because of the support that we receive from members, including nearly 700 members of WPR's 9XM Leadership Circle.
That's a wonderful, wonderful gift. 9XM members support WPR with gifts of $1,200 or more every year. That's $100 a month minimum. To make this leadership gift, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
When you think about it, you pay for the things that are important to us. And WPR is probably as important to you or even more so than some of the other things that you might be dropping your money on.
Right. Yeah, you know what? Life wouldn't be the same. Wouldn't be as good without WPR.org. And WPR wouldn't be as good without your support. So I hope you'll help us out right now. Your gift at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. pays for the programs you enjoy and rely on every day. And we're coming up to the end of our dollar for dollar match. We need to move ahead here.
Yeah, do you hear that tick, tick, tick? Time is ticking away from that dollar for dollar match. It's still in effect right now, so you can get on it right now. It's a gift made in memory of Loretta and Blaine Manor from Eau Claire. And your gift of $10 turns into $20. Your gift of $75 turns into $150. Just gets doubled, and that is exciting. And so you'll want to take advantage of this right now and double your support for WPR programs at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks so much for spending time with Wisconsin Public Radio today. Whether you found us by scanning the dial or maybe a friend recommended the music or the discussions or the weekend programs, you're still tuned in because you like what you hear.
Because you like what you hear, help pay for your public radio station. And you can choose whatever amount works for your budget. $5 a month is a great starting point, but whatever is comfortable for you, become our next new member. Get in on this match, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been sitting on this for a while. I thought, well, we're going to make this, and you know what?
We are going to make this.
We are, with your help. We've got a couple of minutes to do it. Maybe you donated a few years ago and you haven't done it for a while. I tell you what, your continued support is what keeps us going.
Right. If it's been a while since you donated, this is the perfect, perfect time to give again when this match is going on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'll tell you what, we'll be glad to have you back.
Our dollar for dollar match still in effect here as we're, you know, we're going to be talking for maybe 30 more seconds. So we need your help right now. If you haven't given yet, now is really the time to do it and double your impact. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
Twice as far. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Please do it. 1-888-202-2552. That's the number. Or go to WPR.org and make your contribution. Glad to have you along today on the Ideas Network as we take a look at composting today with Joe Van Rossum. He's a natural resources educator for UW Cooperative Extension. And he provides technical assistance if you want to transform waste materials into a valuable soil amendment through composting. So, questions, comments, or experiences to share. I always love to hear what people have been doing in this area. I hope you'll join in. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And we have quite a few Facebook and email questions, Joe, that we probably ought to take a look at here. James emailed and wants to know how close to his residence can his compost pile be. So he's wondering about distance. It'd be pretty close.
Well, you want to have enough space around it so you can work. So keeping it up 3 to 5 feet away from any building is usually what I advise.
Okay, so 3 to 5 feet away. Otherwise, it's fine. We have David, who is posting on Facebook that he's planning to start worm composting. Red worms are the recommended. Can they be invasive? Is there a problem with red worms?
Well, Larry, all the worms that we find in Wisconsin now are actually non-native worms.
Yeah.
So they came in. Usually people have brought them. The red worms, the Encinia fetida, is the scientific name. That's the one we want to look for composting with worms. And that particular one doesn't survive winters in Wisconsin. It's not a burrowing worm. It stays at the surface, so the freezing temperatures will not only kill the worm, but will kill the cocoons and the eggs that the worms will lay as well.
Okay, so, and run that by me again, the name of that red worm?
The red worm is Encinia fetida. And if you're interested in learning more about vermicomposting or composting with worms, I can't recommend enough to check out Mary Appelhoff's books, Worms Eat My Garbage. And that's Worms Eat My Garbage by Mary Appelhoff.
Excellent, excellent. Julie emailed that she fed her worms, red wigglers, a good chunk of heavy rye when she was going to be away, and she came home to a dead bin.
Well, that's probably disappointing for Julie to find that her herd of worms had expired while she was gone. I had never heard of any instances where rye has caused a problem within a worm bin, but you know, worms need a balanced diet too. So perhaps it was just something they either didn't care for the rye, or there was maybe something specific that caused the worms to have an issue. But red wigglers, they're like pets. They need to be fed and cared for. So if you're going away and someone's going to be watering your plants and you have a worm bin, probably have them feed your worms as well while you're on vacation.
And we had Kate email and wondered if you could talk about manures. Well, she wonders about, can you use waste from other birds and other odd animals? Is that a good idea or not?
Well, when we're composting at home, we want to make sure that if we're adding manure, that we're using a hot composting method. So we're getting those temperatures up above 130 degrees. And usually we want to concentrate on manures from plant-eating animals. So those are the types of manures that you can safely add to your backyard compost pile.
Let's turn to Elizabeth in Madison next. Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question about, I just heard part of your discussion about people putting meat in compost. And I'm vegetarian, and so that kind of disturbs me a little bit. I use Purple Cow Organics for my little garden, my little vegetable garden. So I'm wondering, how do we know if there's meat product in our compost that we buy, not the compost that we, you know, make ourselves, but the compost that we purchase?
Well, Elizabeth, when people package compost for sale, they're required to place on that label the ingredients that were used to make that compost product. And that's going to tell you at least what went in as far as ingredients. So it may say this compost was made from yard waste, made from animal manures. In some cases, it may say it's made from food waste or source-separated organics. That may be your indication that it had been made with something that may have contained meat. However, after it goes through that composting process, the organisms are really transforming those materials. And it's not really the same material that went into
the compost.
It's
not meat anymore.
Yeah, it's compost after it's gone through that process. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. All right. Thank you.
Check out the label. It's going to tell you what went into making that compost.
And again, thanks for calling. Alan in Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, Alan.
Hi. My partner and I have been, we started a garden on some property that we have, and I kind of wanted to try like a deep compost garden. So once I tilled the soil or turned the soil over and removed all the sod from it, we actually just covered it with straw. And I've been adding straw because I tried to grow potatoes in the bales, which was not very successful, but I took all the bales and then spread them out over our plots, and I want to keep adding more to it. But one of the issues is the possibility of like herbicides or pesticides in the hay or straw or whatever. Is there a way of figuring out if there's something in them? Is there a test that you can test for what could possibly have been, if they've been treated, if the straw has been treated with anything? Go ahead.
Well, Alan, there certainly is. You could test it for pesticides. It'd be an expensive process to test for each possible pesticide or herbicide that has been applied. For the most part, most herbicides that are used are going to decompose or break down within a matter of days or weeks, and we don't have a huge concern. If you're concerned about it impacting plants in your yard, usually the most sensitive types of plants that we see are either the cucumbers or the tomatoes. So if you have a sacrificial tomato plant, you know, you could spread some of those, that straw around them and see how they react. So you have kind of an indicator organism as to whether or not there may be something of concern there.
I would not be concerned at all, to be honest.
No, really, the possibility is relatively low. There are probably three or four different herbicides that are used in the United States that cause problems for composters, and almost all of those require a professional applicator's license in order to use. And usually they should instruct the property owners how to properly manage any materials that result from that herbicide use.
And they wouldn't normally be associated with the grains or whatever that wind up as straw.
Yes. Usually, we're not seeing herbicide residues for the most part on a straw-type material.
Okay, thank you. Speaking of the worm bin, I actually have two tote, like, large-capacity worm bins. And I, to prep all my food that I go in there, we're mostly vegetarian, so we don't throw anything away. Everything I run through a garbage disposal unit that I built with a drain on it,
yeah.
And then I freeze everything into like Tupperware bricks in the freezer, and then I just throw them in the worm bin, and so that everything's like broken down quite well already, and they'll eat, like a 3 or 4 pound brick in a matter of days.
Yeah, so it's almost like you're feeding your worms baby food through all the process that you're putting your food scraps through.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate the call. I haven't heard of that kind of approach of kind of making up your own food grinder, essentially, in a way. Sounds like it could work well.
Yeah, I've heard of people freezing their food scraps before. I've heard of people putting it through a blender, but never anyone who has set up a garbage disposer to do that work to feeding the worms.
We had someone from Washburn writing in to say that she's been using oak and maple leaves primarily for compost. Should she be adding other materials?
You probably should be able to mix in some additional materials. So when we want to feed our organisms a balanced diet. So the leaves count as a brown, and we want to be mixing in, for every 2 or 3 volumes of brown materials, 1 volume of green. So some common greens are grass clippings or food scraps. So by feeding our organisms a balanced diet, the composting process is going to go along much more smoothly. The leaves are still going to decompose over time, but since they lack the nitrogen that comes along with the greens, it's just going to be a little bit slower for those leaves to decompose and become compost.
Talking today with Joe Van Rossum, natural resources educator at the University of Wisconsin Cooperative Extension. It's great to have him along as we talk composting. You have talked about a few things that we should not compost, I think, at least for home composting, sort of wild bird droppings or things like that.
So some of the things that we don't want to be putting in our backyard compost bins, so weeds that have gone to seed,
diseased plants,
some of the diseases can overwinter or survive the composting process, meat, cheese, other dairy, and breads are things that we generally recommend that people keep out of the compost pile. And if you want to have a little bit more detail and something that you can read, Cooperative Extension's Learning Store has a number of compost publications. So I recommend searching just under the word compost. Making and using compost in the garden is going to give all that basic information how you can get started.
I had John wondering about how we can help the microorganisms in our compost. What's the best diet for the microorganisms in the compost? That's a great question, too.
Yeah, and like I said, they want a variety of materials. So mixing in 2 to 3 volumes of brown materials, leaves, straw, garden debris, along with 1 volume of a green, grass clippings or food scraps, that's going to give the balanced diet for those organisms, and you're going to have a pile. If it's the right size, it's going to warm up, and you're going to have compost just in 3 to 6 months.
And how much compost you've got one of these bins. If you've got that one kind of full, what do you wind up with at the end when you're done? How much
Well, some people are disappointed to learn that the volume of material goes down over time.
It goes down considerably, unfortunately.
So you end up with seeing a reduction in volume from about one-half to two-thirds. So if you start out with a cubic yard of materials, you're going to end up with about one-third of the materials left as your finished compost product.
But what you've got...
It's wonderful.
Yeah,
you know?
It's really good.
There's not a soil that doesn't benefit from adding compost to it. Most of the soils in Wisconsin are short of organic matter, and that organic matter feeds life within our soils. And adding compost feeds that life, makes for healthier soils, and just makes for healthier plants that are growing in that soil.
And one other question. I think we have Morgan in La Crosse had something. And I believe Morgan was wondering about eggshells. Are eggshells okay to have in your compost?
Eggshells are certainly fine to add to your compost pile. They bring a little bit of calcium along with them, which is a good component to be adding to the soil. So go ahead, toss those eggshells into the compost bin.
There we go. Joe Van Rossum, again, our guest today, natural resources educator for UW Cooperative Extension. He does a great job. It's always so much fun to have him come by and be with us to talk composting. Sometimes he comes by and we talk about water. But composting today, great to have him with us. And great to have Jennifer Dargan back. Jennifer is here to help me tell you that Wisconsin Public Radio needs your support. We're in our membership drive. Our goal is to help bring you topics like home composting. Your support makes it all happen. So give right now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And good news from the last hour.
Great Jennifer. News. If you're listening to the entire show, you heard that we had a dollar for dollar match, and that was met. Hooray! And 49 members, either new or renewing, took advantage of that match. So thank you so much. And now you. How about we hear from you next at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a goal of 15 pledges during this last 10 minutes or so of the show. So I hope you'll support the station you love. Help us meet our goal when you give at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Really enjoyed this conversation today on composting, and we had so many great callers either contributing to the information or asking questions, pulling great information from our guests. This is just one example of the interesting and informative conversations that we have on the show every day.
Every single day, and I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to make this program and the many other programs possible. Choose a gift that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you need a little extra incentive to pledge during this membership drive. You can get the latest WPR t-shirt when you give $10 a month or even a one-time gift of $120. So your donation will support the programs that you count on, and you can also get this cool and comfortable and soft t-shirt.
It's gray. It's got a circular WPR design. It's made in the good old U.S. of A., and it's printed right here in Wisconsin. You can tell the world you love WPR with this new T-shirt. Ask for yours now when you pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm John Nevins from Janesville, Wisconsin, and today I'd like to just share a little bit about why public radio means something to me. As a young boy, I listened to the radio quite a bit because we didn't have television. And I remember laying many times on a Saturday morning in front of the radio and listening to the programming and imagining that I was with the Lone Ranger or with whoever it was that was on the radio. And my parents forbid me to listen to the Green Hornet, but we used to sneak off and do it anyway.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Today I don't have to sneak off at all. I listen to it daily in the kitchen as I fix breakfast in the morning and at noon when I'm fixing dinner. It's a very special part of my life, and I am very, very proud to be a member of WPR and to be here today to share that thanks with the organization.
All I hope you will go to WPR.org right now or phone 888-202-2552. Make your pledge during our winter membership drive. Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan, and we are asking for your support of WPR. So your gift, maybe it's $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
It is. You might consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning you get from WPR by making a 9XM Leadership Circle gift. That's $100 a month or $1,200 a year, and that provides a really important piece of funding for the programs that we all rely on.
Absolutely. Make your leadership gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, I bet if you've listened to 1 hour or more of the Ideas Network, you've probably heard something that you wanted to pass on to a friend. You might have said, hey, I heard on Wisconsin Public Radio today. Well, we've got our program notes on the website and audio archives. You can pass the whole show along, and maybe you already do.
It's a great way to stay connected with others by passing on ideas and stories and information. Mm-hmm. We help you stay connected with your friends and family and with the world, and your donation keeps this connection going.
Hey, we should talk about what we're trying to do by 12:30 here. We are looking for 12 more pledges in the next 5 minutes. So that's you and 11 others. Make your gift to support the programs that you rely on every day. Your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really makes a difference.
Yeah, I think it's easy sometimes to take Wisconsin Public Radio for granted. You tune in to WPR, and every time you hear something good.
Right, but you know, if you travel around the country, you realize really what a gem we have here in Wisconsin. We're really proud of WPR, and you can be too, because you make it possible with your support.
So don't take it for granted. It's something special. Help make it possible with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
New members are so important. Without you, we wouldn't be able to increase and improve our services as we do every year. So when you make your first gift right now, it shows that you are willing to stand up and be counted as the next member in our WPR community.
You care enough to listen. I hope you'll now support your source for meaningful radio. If you've never given before, make your first gift of $5 a month, let's say, or whatever amount you choose. That's the right amount. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 11 more pledges.
11.
Time is ticking away. You've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now it's time to make the decision to support WPR financially. That's how simple it is. It's just as simple as that. You really can help. So join, renew, or make an extra gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you're a sustainer, or you've already given this drive, or you renew your membership in the mail. Thanks so much. We really appreciate your support.
And maybe there's another step you can do. You can pick up the phone and call someone else and encourage them, a friend that you know listens to Wisconsin mm-hmm. Public Radio. Encourage them to join into the community. Sometimes we all need a nudge from a friend to do the right thing.
Absolutely. You can help us grow our members. You can motivate a friend to make a pledge right now. That'd be wonderful. Tell them to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I don't know about this. Just about one more minute to go, and we are still looking for 11 more pledges. With your help, we can get there. Your gift matters right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this pledge drive, I want you to support the programs that you love and the radio that you love. Ask for the WPR t-shirt. I'm going to get one. I mean, you can get one too. It's yours when you give $10 a month, or like me, give a one-time gift of $120 to sort of add to my normal. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustaining member, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. And ongoing monthly donations come from your bank account or credit card. Do it right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
We're going away in a few seconds, but there's still time for you. Please do it right now. It really makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thanks if you've already contributed. If you haven't, please do it right now here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.